Here is Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Wow, it's almost Christmas. Although it's been a stressful, anxious, distressing and sad year for many, many people, thankfully it's now nearly over. With the advent of better treatments and at least the highly effective COVID-19 vaccines, it looks as though sometime next year life might actually be able to get back to something akin to normality, whatever that might mean for you and for me. This glimpse of the promised land, of life returning to something like normality, together with the very limited lifting of restrictions over the forthcoming Christmas period, will allow many people at last to find some joy at the end of what has been for most a terribly tough and demanding year. As such, the good news is that Christmas this year will hopefully not be a complete washout for many who want to celebrate it. However, there will be others, many others, for whom this Christmas will bring no joy at all, but only a feeling of emptiness and deep heartache as they contemplate absent family members and friends. Whatever Christmas looks like for you, though, it's worth just reflecting on what lies at its heart, that is the birth of a baby boy, and what were for his parents far from ideal, and in fact completely unprecedented circumstances too. So what do you think about the birth of Christ that clearly gave rise to the name of this forthcoming festive period, which most call Christmas? Is it just a fairy story? That is a good story for children that is filled with supernatural events? Or is it in its totality just a myth? That is a made-up story passed on from one generation to the next in order to explain something about the world that we live in? Or is it perhaps just a legend? It is a story about real people that has been exaggerated and embellished over the centuries to make it more exciting. Or perhaps, is it in every regard and in every detail true? Which of those, if any, sums up how you think about what lies at the heart of Christmas? If the birth of Christ is just a fairy story or myth, or a legend, it has very little to offer us any year, let alone this dreadful year that has brought so much sadness to so many people. If, however, it is true in every regard and in every detail, then it truly has something comforting, something to rejoice in and over, and so something worth sharing to offer us. First and foremost, since Jesus Christ was also the long-promised Emmanuel, that is, God with us, it comforts us that there is a God who intimately cares about not just our world in general, but about us as individuals too. This is because God came to this deeply troubled earth as a human being, not simply because he could, nor in order to just have a break from his heavenly home, and neither just to reconnoitre what was going on here on the earth in person, but rather, as we heard in our reading from that opening chapter of Matthew, he came in order to save his people from their sins. That is, to rescue us from that rebellion in our natures that wants absolutely nothing to do with the God of the Bible. And like any rescue, this one too will give those who are saved something to rejoice in, something to rejoice over, and something to share as well. Such comfort and rejoicing, though, rests solely on the birth of Christ, as we have it in the biblical accounts, being true in every regard and in every detail. Thankfully, we do not need to spend our lives wondering. There is a way for us to know whether what the Bible says about the birth of Christ is true or not. The point is simply this. If it's true, then Jesus Christ is the God of the Bible. And in the Bible, he has declared himself to be both truthful and faithful. As such, this beautiful promise that I'm about to cite that he has given to our world is truthful. But more than that, he will be perfectly faithful to it as well. The promise that I have in mind is this one. It comes from Matthew chapter 11. Beginning at verse 28, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Perfect rest for our souls right now, and for eternity to come. And it's freely available. And it's just a prayer of faith and confession away. A prayer of faith because we believe this beautiful promise that he has given us. And a prayer of confession because we're truly weary and burdened because we've wanted nothing to do with the God of the Bible. Where such faith and confession are not just for now, but for life. So, all who are courageous enough to take God at his word will freely receive the promised temple and eternal rest for their souls. I suggest that is the best gift ever. It's freely available all year round, not just at Christmas. I urge you as I close not to miss out on this best gift ever, which will bring you eternal comfort and joy from the God of the Bible.